if you look at this, these pictures, there's a message here. I'm sure you've all, like we have at our house, dealt with this before. And what's going on? Well, the garage door is open. Or you left the door open. Or you left the window open. Now, would you feel safe in your home going to sleep at night if you left the garage door open? Or you left some windows open? Or you maybe left windows open. I'm first story floor windows. Have to get a ladder to get in the high ones. Or you just left the door open. And we protect our homes pretty well. We have a lot of technology that allows us to protect our home from the dangers that, face us in this world. You know, we've got things like we lock the doors. We've got smoke alarms. We got CO2 alarms. We got the water alarms. We got the this or that. We're hooked up to ADT. We've got all these things that we use to help us protect our homes. And those of you that have visited our house, you know we've got three very good protectors. Dogs. Somebody said that if you didn't have anything else, have a big barking dog in your house. It's a good thing to protect it from people coming up and so on. We take care generally. Now, I've heard, my father had told me of a time when you didn't have to lock your doors in such and such a little town somewhere. I don't know if that place exists anymore. For us, living in our society today, we do a lot of things to protect our home. But our homes are under spiritual attack. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, you remember as he's finishing the letter to the Ephesians, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not these people who are going to break your door down that you need to worry about. We worry about that, but that's not what we really need to worry about. What we really need to worry about is that we're a fight against the principalities, against the powers and the rulers of this dark age, or the rulers of this dark world. And I'll tell you that our homes are under attack. I keep very few magazine covers. In fact, I have three magazines that I've kept in my home. After a while, I'll tell you about two of the others that I've kept, but this morning I want you to see this one. If you don't believe our homes are under attack, look at this right here. Guess when this was written? This is an article, this is the cover of Newsweek magazine from 2003. And the question that was asked in 2003 is this question right here. Did you hear what happened with the Boy Scouts of America this week? This is an interesting picture on the front of this magazine. Very carefully put together magazine, I'll have you know. Very carefully chosen two people to put on this. They're said at the bottom, it says they're partners. And look at the question. Is that next? This was in 2003. 10 years later, folks. 10 years later. What's the answer to this question? And if we think that our homes are immune to this, we're leaving the doors open. Guess how they started this? I kept this. I said I have three magazines. This is one. In 2003, where were we? Who knows? Chicago, maybe? No, just come back. I don't remember. But I saw this magazine article and I kept it. And what the question is, the fights ahead. This is in 2003, about 10 years ago. The fights ahead, this is July 7th, from adoption to the military. The fight started maybe in earnest then. It's been going on throughout the ages. But for our society, a concerted effort was put forth here. I kept this because there were people at the time that said, that will never happen in America. That will never happen in America. Who would have thought what would happen with the Boy Scouts would have happened? And by the way, the people with these agendas, they're not done yet. And where do they introduce these concepts to your children and my children? A lot of the times it's in the school. It starts in the school, public schools. But that's not the only place. And that's why we want to talk about protecting our home. What can we do to protect our home spiritually? We want to look at two examples from the Old Testament of men that made an attempt to protect their homes. Turn with me to Joshua 24. And the song that we sang, "I need you, Lord, in my home." That was hallelujah. "I need you in my life." I forget the words right now, but in my home and in my life. And we need God. And we sing those songs fervently, spiritually, with understanding. Thanks for leading that song for us. But are we really prepared to make the choices that are necessary? This is what Joshua asked the folks that he was looking at, starting in verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Joshua had taken over the leadership. The people had come in, and now he puts a test in front of them. He asks them a question. "Now fear the Lord and serve Him sincerely in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." These people had for generations served the Egyptian gods. There were God-fearing people among them, but as a rule, they served the Egyptian gods. And verse 15, he says, "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it's the gods that your father served that were on the other side of the floods, or the gods of the Amorites in the lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is saying to these people, choose you this day. We sing that song, "Lord, I need you in my home." We sing that song. Now we have to make decisions. We will be faced with decisions. As the head of the house, man, woman, whoever is in charge of your home, of your house, has to make that decision and make that call. He also said later on in chapter 24, and so that he asked them this question, and they said, their answer to him, he said, "Put away," in verse 23, "put away the strange gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God, we agree, and His voice we will obey." And we sang that song, "I'll be a sanctuary. We will be the dwelling place of God." That's what that song says. You sang it and you meant it. I meant it. And then we're faced with decision after decision as to whether we really mean it or not. Joshua said, as my father once said, "Not in my house." Have you ever heard that expression? Blah, 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 blah. That's the kids. They listen to their parents. Blah, blah, blah. "Not in my house. This is my house. I bought this house. I paid for this house. You're not going to do that." Fill in the blank. You can imagine the things he had to tell me. "In my house." You know what? That's pretty good. If you think about it, that's very good. Not in our house. There's another case. Now, these people had problems with idol worship. I'll just preview to you. You remember that song, "Jesus Calls Us from this vain world's, the worship of this vain world's golden store, from every idol that would keep us"? We sang that song, I think, last week. We'll get there. Just keep that in mind when we talk about idols. But these people had a problem with idols. And the thing that they did is they hid their idols in their house. These were little idols. I was doing some study on this on the internet. But hey, if the stuff I read was good, it's pretty interesting. And that is that these people kept idols around. They were little idols. They didn't always go up into the trees and in the groves and to the idol temples. But sometimes they had handheld idols, little idols, that they kept. And they hid them and kept them in their house. And one commentator, one person read, sometimes they would just look at, this is what they said. Hey, I read on the internet. They would look at them and take comfort, and they didn't really worship them so much, but they just sort of had them around. Look at the case of Jacob's house and the situation that he had. You remember Jacob, and he worked for Laban. Turn over. We'll look at a few things in Genesis chapter 31. In verse 20 of Genesis chapter, to set the stage, in verse 20 of Genesis 31, it says, Jacob stole away unawares to Laban, the Syrian, and he didn't tell him that he fled. Jacob, as his sort of way was, he took his wives that he had worked for, and Rachel and Leah and so on, and kind of snuck away from Laban. Guess what they took? The idols. Little idols. Hidden idols. We'll see this. And Laban comes up to him and he says, man, why did you leave me like this? And, oh, by the way, you stole my idols. And this is where we read now. And Jacob says, this is starting in verse 32. Whomsoever you find those gods, let him not live. I'll kill whoever has those gods. He didn't know where they were at the time. Before they find out they're with you, take it, and so on, he said. But Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen it. So he says, and then Laban, he said, like, look in now, look in, look around. And Laban went to Jacob's tent and to Leah's tent and the maidservants. He didn't find them. And he went out of Leah's tent and he entered into Rachel's tent. And verse 34, Rachel had taken the images, these smallish types of images, and put them in the camel's furniture and sat on them. And Laban searched the tent and didn't find them. So he couldn't, she hid them. And they were in the saddle or the get-up that goes on the camel, in the packing or whatever, they were in there somewhere. She had hidden them away. And folks, teenagers and young people hide stuff in your house all the time. If they got something they shouldn't have, they'll find a way to hide it in our very homes. Don't think they don't. But a little bit later on, that time goes by. And in so this is in Genesis 31. Later in Genesis 35, we read that Jacob pulls the folks aside and he said to his household. Then Jacob said to his household and to all those that were with him, put away the strange gods and let us have among you and change your garments and let's arise and go to Bethel and make there an altar to God who will answer to us in my distress. He was with me. God was with him. He said, we're going to put all this stuff away. And they gave to Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand and their earrings. I don't know what the situation was with their earrings that were in their ears. And Jacob hid them, it says in the King James, other translations say he buried them under an oak tree which was by Shechem. So he goes to his folks. Remember now, sometime earlier, these handheld idols in the closet, sort of, that they took some kind of comfort in or maybe worshiped them, they were hidden. And then Jacob later, he says, cough them up, bring them up, and they buried them all. You know, it reminded me when I was reading this of Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, after these people, the folks had heard the gospel and were and responded to the gospel and were baptized, they had been involved in witchcraft and all that sort of thing. And in Acts chapter 19, we read that that said that many, although that believed and confessed and showed their deeds, this is now in 19, and many of them which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before men, and they counted the price and the 50,000 and so on, and the word grew mightily, verse 20. So you can see the reaction that Jacob's family had and that the Christians would have that maybe practiced this sort of thing. They piled all their stuff together that were part of all of this and they burned it. And they, as Jacob asked and said, they got that out of his homes, out of their possessions and destroyed them. So there's two examples for us about men from the Bible, their reaction to these sorts of things in their home. And really, let's think about now. Now we heard that, we read that. Now let's talk about, make this personal. And I'm sure that you've probably a time or two sold a home. And on the outside, the home looks really nice. How do you find out what it's really like? And in our area, for those of you that might be from another place, in our area, you always got to do this thing. It's called the home inspection. It's where they hire somebody to come in and look and find everything that's wrong that you as the seller have to do before they'll finish the contract and like that. But on the outside, the house might look fine. And on the outside, all of our homes may look okay. And what do we do about that? And you know, we're the mother and the father or the head of the house, or maybe I live by myself and I'm sort of taking responsibility for myself to be a sanctuary of God. It isn't just for people that have homes, but it's where we live and the stuff that we have in our homes and that we see and are exposed to and all this sort of thing. And what can we do? I thought about this, and there's this actually a pretty good little song that we sing to our kids that would work very well as we think about, and you might do this, if nothing else from our lesson today, we'll have a conversation. If we leave here today and we go home and have a conversation with our teenage kids or our husband and wife or our look at ourselves in the mirror and we have this, we ask ourselves, don't we say this to the kids, be careful what you see. Because what do we expose ourselves to and what are we exposed to so much today? And there's so many things that we can see and that we can bring into our lives. Are we a sanctuary when we're filling our minds with things that we are seeing? And by the way, there's no hard and fast rules. There's nothing that says, stop. I used to say, be careful what you hear. A long time ago, I said that country music is the only thing you could listen to on the radio. But I can't say that anymore, right? Because what people sing about these days. But, you know, we could rail against this. We could rail. It isn't a matter of drawing a line. It's a matter of making us think about what are we bringing into our home and into ourselves, into our mind. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you say, what you talk about in your home, in the confines of your home, the place that's a sanctuary too, from the outside influences of this world. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. We sing this to our kids. Hey, apply this as you look at your home. That will help us define and look and kind of test what do we have in our home. By the way, I read somewhere that kids should have no expectation of privacy in their home. You know what that means, right? I don't know what your home's like. I'm not saying, I'm just throwing these things. Again, what are we talking about? After today, we'll have a conversation. There's no expectation of privacy. When I sign on at work, to email at work or work, there's a little thing that comes up that says you are agreeing to be, have all your activity monitored and all your email looked at. We have it's a secure environment, blah, 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 blah. Those others that sign on to these environments, also just by the fact that you sign on, you agree that all that you email, all that you, wherever you go on the web, whatever you do is monitored, evaluated by somebody looking over your shoulder. This is at work. Same rule applies to us at home. Should. Somebody says there are no locked doors. There's no drawers that I can't open. And tell your teenage sons and daughters that you'll be going through their stuff. That's the way it is in our house. There's no expectation of privacy because just like Rachel hid the idols in their home, kids, young people will do the same thing. So there should be no expectation of privacy. A pretty good rule. And that really means you can just say, hey, let me see that email, your inbox. Try it. Hey, kids, let's open up your email and go through them today. If they say, okay, yeah, go ahead. Good. If they say, no, it's password protected. I'm not going to let you. It's time to have that conversation. And if Christ was the home inspector, you've got to ask yourself, because see, our homes look really nice on the outside. What could be on the inside that we might not be aware of? And again, I'm telling you folks, these are the times we live in where we have to think like this and talk about this. So, if Christ conducted a home inspection, what would he find? You'll have to answer that question. The second part of our lesson, and by the way, we're almost done. The second part of our lesson comes from that song. Jesus calls us from the worship of this vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us from, and keep us saying, Christian, love me more. Do you and I have idols hidden away in the camel's saddle? In our closet? In our, back in the recesses of our mind, do we? Well, let's just look at a couple of things. And I want to give you, I wanted to, again, start a conversation. I wanted to give you some things to think about today because I've been thinking about it. Because I'm thinking about what's happening to our society, what's happened inside our homes and your homes and other people's homes. I'm thinking about it. And we should be as well in discussing it. But, so, I tried to list things here that in and of themselves weren't wrong, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with talking about the stock market or the work or the sports teams and all that. But, you know, we did this thing once at work. Analyze how you spend your day at work. So you go to work in the 8 in the morning or whatever and you leave. What did you do today? Have you ever done one of those time and motion type studies and just analysis of what you spend your time doing? It never ceases to be embarrassing and amaze me at how much time we just spend on, we call it NVA. Not Northern Virginia area, but non-value add. This is work talk, you know. Well, this is, and we actually, somebody has a stamp. It says NVA on it. Meaning, if I have to sign this, look at this, deal with this, non-value add. These are all things that might be important at one time or another to us. And then we look, well, how much time do we spend on all of that? How much time, come back to me. How much time do we spend versus this? Just talking about these things and seeing about these kind of things. Visiting, helping others, visiting sick, worship, Bible study, Sunday school, what we're going to do, family things. Things that matter. Explaining to our children the values that we have. Explaining to them why things thus and so work. And dealing with these kinds of issues as we see on the front page of magazines and in the news. We can put our head in the sands if we want because it's a very uncomfortable subject. Should not. We can if we want to, but we should not. We should be discussing that with our kids. So just think about this. Where do we focus our time and energy? And I'll tell you, I raise my hand. It's easy to get on this side of the stuff. And it isn't wrong in and of itself. It's what would keep me from worshiping God, from being a sanctuary. And as we burn our books, we're going to pile our books together. This afternoon, I expect to see a whole bunch of smoking embers as I drove down the neighborhoods because you all went out and threw out stuff. No, I know we don't have that kind of thing in our house. By the way, that was the book era, right, where you could burn them. It's hard to burn your computers. It's hard to burn them iPads, pile them all together and burn them. And I'm not saying do that. Remember, this is a discussion. This is a deep looking at ourselves to see. But that's how this stuff gets in today. It isn't necessary through printed type media that we can easily burn. But Jesus gives this parable, and it's really interesting. It's a very interesting parable. He says, whensoever an unclean spirit goes out of a person and wanders through waterless places looking for a rest and finds none. So like these people were, this evil spirit was inside somebody, possessing them. And this is a parable like the thing. And then he says, so he gets thrown out. Nothing takes his place. Keep in mind, nothing takes his place. And then he says, I'll go back and he'll find it. And he comes back, it's empty, swept clean, and put in order. Sound pretty good. Like our houses are. We're going to get all this stuff out. Finds it clean. Then he goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they go and settle there. I was going to bring you all a peppermint drop. And I thought it might be, besides inappropriate and stuff, from a lesson perspective, but it might be distracting to you. But now I'm telling you about it, and I'm probably distracting you when I talk about this peppermint drop. But if somebody was to quit smoking, folks say that you'd have a whole bunch of that, like peppermint candy, around. So when you reach for the cigarette, you reach over here and get the peppermint drop and put it in your mouth. Because there's habits. It's replacing what we used to have in our mouth with something else that's not so bad for us as a cigarette and helps us break the habit. And there's all kind of strategies and work that's shown that in methadone treatment labs and every kind of thing, somebody that's very, very, very addicted to that sort of thing and their body's addicted to it, there are ways to substitute and work away from that. Very difficult, but can be done. Same thing can happen as we rid our lives of all of these things that keep us from being a sanctuary. But if we just have an empty life, an empty home swept clean and all this sort of thing, and we don't occupy ourselves and our minds with other things, what happens is something like this could take place where that. So you want to not just say, I don't have anything to do. But when our kids said, we didn't have anything to do, we used to say, read a book. And somehow that's lost now, except Dahlia loves paperback, hard copy books. Not, what do you say now, get your iPad out? You know, so it's like, it's harder to do, but the idea is do something instead of what you used to do, replace that with things, which we'll talk about as we close our lesson. What should our house be full of? Turn, as you're looking at this and trying to read this hand scratching, turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And as we think about our home, and we want to say, well, what should it be, and how would you describe, and what kind of things should we strive for in our home? I put this together, and if you'd like a copy of it, let me know, I'll print it off for you. But just look at all the kinds of things that our home, and we can focus our home not to be something that's influenced by this sort of anti-Christ, anti-God thinking. We replace that with this kind of a God-centered place for learning, relaxing, praise, victorious praying, welcoming, peaceful. A lot of things in there to think about that we can think about to make our homes be this place. In fact, our home can be, like we can be, a sanctuary. A place when somebody goes into our home, they say, you know, I can see God here. There's that song, God Give Us Christian Homes. We sing this song, I need you, Lord, in my home. We sing, I want to be a sanctuary. We can be. And look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Apply that in our lives and in our homes. And that means throwing out some stuff, not in my house. And that means adopting and adapting new things and other things like this to drive our conversations along the lines of how do we help others? How do we do something productive? What are we working on? What are we thinking about? What's important? Drive the conversations that you have with your families in those directions, and you'll benefit, and so will the folks in your home. Well, that's our lesson. We have a song in just a moment, in case someone wants today to be the day of their salvation. Or maybe somebody in the audience that says, I want to get on that path with Christ. Maybe somebody in the audience that needs the prayers, the help, the assistance. And as we've often said, and we'll continue to say, there's nothing magical about this singing of this song. It's just an opportunity right now for you to come. If we can help you in any way, come while we stand and sing.